Right? We got two natures. Somebody says, how are you doing today? Which one? Amen? Or you wake up and you say to your wife, which one are you today? Amen? Or sir, ma'am, he drives up and you watch him get out of the door and you say, which one? Wonder which one he's coming in today. Amen? Amen. I hope he's in his good one. And we have a choice every day to make. It is our choice, basically. We have a choice to walk in the Spirit or to walk in the what? Say it. Flesh. Turn to Genesis 20. Genesis 20. And with Genesis 20, pick up 1 Samuel 3. Quickly now. Genesis 20, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to show you something, and you know it already, but then I want to relate it. Come on, you're taking my time up. Turn quicker. Genesis 20. If you know the story here, Abimelech thought that Sarah was available, and Abraham said, hey, she's just my sister. And verse 3, God causes Abimelech to have kind of a bad night's sleep. Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. That would have a tendency to ruin your night, wouldn't it? For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother, in the integrity of my heart. And innocency of my hands have I done this. Sounds like a lawyer, amen? And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also, what? Say it. Say it again. What? Withheld. I restrained thee. I withheld thee from sinning against me. Now look up here. The only reason, brethren, that we don't live in that old nature is because God withholds us. The only reason we're not dominated by that old nature and in slavery to this flesh today is because God withholds us and restrains us to walk in the new nature. Satan and the original sin was one of non-restraint. I will be like the Most High. That's non-restraint. Would you agree? And then not only did it stop there, but I believe that he influenced angels to leave their first estate. Do you believe that? So, in non-restraint, he said, I will be like the Most High. Y'all coming with me? And he didn't stop there. He went down to mankind and he said, Eve, you're not going to really die. Let me tell you something about God. God has withheld something from you, Eve. Because he knows when you eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes are going to be open. And you're going to know good and evil, and you're going to be as gods. You say, well, it doesn't say that. Read it. And Eve, you know what? If you really want to be like God, you're not going to really die. By the way, look at this. Isn't this food look good? Look at it. Take a good look. Isn't it pretty? And you could be wise, Eve. And in his subtlety, he causes Eve to go through the restraint barriers that was set up by God. Are you listening? Adam says, don't eat it. And Eve, let's not even touch it. That's the barriers. And Eve goes through the barriers, gives it to Adam, and he goes through the barriers, and mankind falls. Are you with me? The problem was non-restraint. Hmm. think now for a moment. Missionaries who aren't missionaries anymore. Leaders who aren't leaders anymore. Marriages that aren't marriages anymore. You mark it down, brethren, and you think long enough, most of the problems have been a problem of non-restraint. Would you agree? Most of the problems in churches are problems of non-restraint. You know where arguments come from? Non-restraint. Hey, you know what? I don't have to argue with my wife. And she doesn't have to argue with me. We've been married for how many years? You keep track of that stuff. 12, 15, 20. I'm glad she's here. You know what? We don't argue. We've not had more than 5 arguments in our whole marriage, and none of them have lasted over 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. I hope you can say the same, whoever said that. We don't have to argue. And you say, have you had any pressures? Yeah. I'm not. This is not a braggadocious thing. You put ourselves together in our old natures, and we'll fight it out, man. Hey, you know what? It's my new nature that loves her new natures. Our old natures would not get along. It's only in our new natures is the reason if I'm irritated, she irritates. One of us walks away from it and says, it's not worth hindering our prayer life and causing problems with our children to do this. There's no need for us in here, we in here who are leaders, to go out on the mission field, to go back to our churches, to go traveling around in the churches and evangelists and everything, and come home and have fights in our home. Backbiting, envy, malice, gossip, it's all a matter of non-restraint. Would you agree, yes or no? In the Old Testament, there's so many examples. Solomon, when he was old, the Bible says, didn't restrain himself. He gave him over to women. And then finally his heart followed after. Non-restraint. Would you agree? Hey, David. Nathan shows up to David. He says, David, the Lord is ticked off at you. Amen? He gave you everything you wanted. And if you would have wanted more, he would have given. But you took Bathsheba, then you try to cover it up and had Uriah hit that. You're the man. Thou art the man. And let me tell you what God's ticked off about, David. You've given the enemy of God a reason to blaspheme because you couldn't restrain yourself. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Look at 1 Samuel 3. Stay with me. 1 Samuel 3. Come on now, go quickly. Don't take my time up. I'm ready to go. Are you there? Good. 1 Samuel 3. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. He knows what he did because, here's the reason, his sons made themselves vile and he what? Say it. Say it again. He restrained them not. The reason his house is going to be judged, because his sons made themselves vile, and he didn't try to stop them. Now listen, I've got 6 children living. Got a couple with the Lord already, amen? But the ones that are living, I've got to do my best to try to teach them restraint. But if I work on that all through that I can, and when they leave my house, if they don't restrain themselves, I've tried to do my job. The problem I see here is his sons made themselves vile, and Eli didn't go to him and say, you're doing wrong, man. It was after the fact. You say, well, what did they do? Hey, don't you remember Eli's sons? Who were they? Say it. Hophni and who? Phinehas. Don't you remember? They took their flesh hooks. Not waiting on their portion. They took their flesh hooks. They went over while the meat was still boiling, and they dipped them in, and whatever came out, they just took it. The main thing about that was the fat hadn't been burned yet. And you know, the fat was the Lord's. They went in there and they didn't even wait for the thing to be done properly and the fat to be cut off and burned. They just dipped it in and said, "We don't care if we're taken from the Lord." Amen? And they took it fat and all. And with them, not only did they take things that didn't belong to them, that belonged to the people, but they took things that belonged to God. The women came to the door of the congregation. The Bible says they took advantage of the women. The tabernacle door. Look, if you would, verse 29 of chapter 2. Look at it. Wherefore, quickly. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, at my offering which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons, Eli, above me? You know what that is? Idolatry. Anytime we put anybody above the Lord, it's idolatry. And honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves what? Say it. Fat. But the chiefest of all the offerings of the Israel, my people. But even more than that, what they did, verse 24, and Eli says to them, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make," verse 24, "the Lord's people to what? Transgress." Look up here. Eli didn't restrain his sons. The sons didn't restrain themselves. And because of that non-restraint, they even caused the Lord's people to sin. I don't know if we really realize the progress downwardly that can happen. Look up here. I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit. If I don't walk in the Spirit, I walk in the old nature. When I walk in the old nature, it flirts with sin. It flirts with Satan. And Satan loves me to walk in my old nature because he knows in my old nature the barriers of restraint are broken down. And then if I'm not careful, when the barriers of restraint are broken down for me and I consciously decide to do it, if I'm not careful, I can influence others into non-restraint too. Hey, by the way, you know what a church is all about? A church is supposed to be a bunch of people walking in the Spirit, restraining each other, promoting restraint with each other, and saying, "We got to stop this in our community."
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
The whole idea of church, somebody says, "What is church all about?" Restraint. What do we preach every Sunday? Restraint. Amen? What are you heading for the mission field for? What are you giving up your lives, your careers, everything? What are you giving them up for? You're trying to withhold someone from going to hell. Through God's working. Are you with me? All through this book. Aaron, Moses comes down, and we read it yesterday. "What are you doing here, Aaron?" "Well, you know these people." You know what Aaron's problem was? He didn't restrain himself, and he let the people pressure him, if you would, according to his report, and there was no restraint. I got to give you a solution. We could talk about this over and over. Let me just use Peter as an example. Would you agree that Peter in his old nature had a problem with restraint? Would you agree with that? Do you remember one day they were at the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter said something dumb. Let's make 3 tabernacles. One for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Remember that? Dumb. Dumb statement. Voice came out of heaven. Dumb statement. Amen? Remember the day that Peter said, "Hey, I don't care if everybody denies you, not me." No, not me. Dumb statement. Amen? You remember the day that Peter rebuked the Lord? Non-restraint. You say, well, what changed Peter's life? The Holy Spirit of God. Because the Bible says, and you read it, after he's filled with the Spirit at the day of Pentecost, Peter doesn't have a big problem with restraint anymore. And be not drunk with wine wherein is it what? excess, but be ye what? Say it. Filled with what? Spirit. Now listen. Here's what's going to happen when we get filled with Spirit. We're going to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then we're going to give thanks always, and then we're going to submit ourselves one to the other in fear of God. Is that what you read? Yes or no? Talk to me. You say, what does that have to do with restraint? Where does the restraint come in? Submission. And be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you do, you're going to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You're going to thank God always for everything. And then you're going to submit yourselves one to the other in fear of God. And the only way we can submit ourselves to each other is with what? Say it. Restraint. The only way I can submit myself and be a pastor to Brian Girard is if I restrain myself from disliking him.
Amen. Major task.
Amen? Now we're talking miracle time here. Amen? But listen, I can't do it myself.
Amen, brother.
The only way I can like him is if God gives me the love of God.
Yeah.
And God is love. So he puts himself in me and says, well, with me has to come love because I am love. So I begin to love him because God's now in me. That's the only way. Amen. Sir, the only way you can pastor your church is by being filled.
Amen.
The only way you can be a missionary out there and not quit and grumble and complain and come back because you've been victimized is to be filled. And filling is not something where we sit down one day and say, okay, fill me. Go ahead. I'm worthy. Fill me. My Bible, if I remember correctly, he gives the illustration of the person that didn't have bread at night and the friend came. Do you remember? And he gets up and goes to the other house and... Friend! Friend! Hey, I have somebody that came to my house. I need some food for him. Friend, wake up. Friend, friend. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then he relates that to asking for the Holy Spirit's power. Is that what you read? God, Father, I need filled. Father, I need filled before I preach again. I heard Tim say, fill me. Lord, I need filled again. I think some of it leaked out. I need filled. Lord, I'm getting carnal here. I need filled quick, quick, quick. I feel like I'm losing my restraint. Fill me quick, Lord. Make it quick, Lord. Amen. It's not vain, heathen, repetition type of prayer. It's God, I need filled. I need thy Holy Spirit to be in control is what we're asking when we ask him to fill us. Is that right? I need filled. I'm getting angry at my husband. He deserves it, but I still need filled. Amen? Lord, I'm getting frustrated with these kids. Fill me before I kill them. I'm getting so... These natives, these women, these men, oh, disgusting. Fill me quick. I'm getting ready to run, Lord. I'm getting ready to quit. Fill me quick. I'm history. Amen. Lord, I'm getting back into my old habit of thinking and feeling like a victim again. I need to get filled. Now follow this process and listen. I get saved. The love of God flows into me. It's not my nature now, it's His. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I'm not living me anymore, I'm living Him. Are you listening? I need to be filled now to walk in that Spirit. But now, look up here. It's not only just me restraining myself and God restraining me. Look up here. If I'm going to be a leader, I've got to influence others to restrain. Just filling for myself is not enough. Are you listening to me? Now, somehow, I've got to convince others that they need to restrain.
Now listen to me.
And then comes the opposition. Now I need even more. Before it was just taking care of myself, if you would. God, fill me, just whatever I need, just to restrain. But now I've got to go out and influence others, so I need even more. I need your power to go out and convince others that they need to be filled so we can all restrain and do your work. And then comes the opposition. And as the opposition grows greater, look up here and listen to me, we need more filled. The stronger the opposition, the stronger the antagonizing, the stronger you get out there as far as opposition on the field, in the ministry, you need more. Somebody says, I got saved, got the Holy Ghost, got the whole thing. Right. God measures out the power as you need more power. Would you agree with that? God measures out the power as you and I need more power. God measures out the restraint Come on, I don't raise my hand. I've always been a leader. Oh, I'm going out for the first time, and I'm gonna be on my own out there trying to serve the Lord, or I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna try to lead them. I'm gonna be a leader, really, kind of for the very first time at this level. Now hold up your hand. All right. Now, I don't care how old you are, age wise, you're going into a new leadership role. And you need a new level of restraint in your life. And ladies, you need a new level of restraint as you watch your husband be victimized and you're able to keep your mouth shut and grin and bear it and say, I love him. I heard him say yesterday, Mike, one of the reasons they say that they leave the field is because the wife can't handle it. They say, what can't she handle? The way the natives treat the husband. The way the population that he's ministering to treats the husband. You say, you mean just on the foreign field? Oh, no. We have natives in San Diego. You have natives where you pastor, sir. And every once in a while, your wife looks at some of those natives and says, they shouldn't be talking and treating him that way. He's served them. He's given himself. He preaches. He studies. He prays for them. Why are they doing that to my husband? Why are they doing that to my children? That's not fair. We've given our whole life here. How are they doing that? Restraint. How do you restrain? Get filled with God's love. And you think about it. Aren't you glad God has restrained himself so far? God has restrained himself from destroying this whole wicked earth. And we say now that we're saved, even so, come quickly. We weren't saying that when we were lost. I'm glad he's held off long enough so I could get in. Amen? I hope he restrains himself longer so others can get in. It's going to wax worse and worse and worse, but let's not be selfish. We still have children to get in. Amen? I'm glad. Listen, you know what was one of the most amazing things? Do you remember Judas? The Bible says that Satan entered into Judas. Is that right? The son of perdition? And he goes over and he makes an agreement with the chief priest to go out and betray Jesus. They find a convenient place where the multitude's not at. That night, at the Passover, if you would, Satan again enters in and Judas goes out. Now listen up here. Satan is not omnipresent. Right? He can only be one place at one time, and at that place and at that time, he chose to take up his abode in Judas. Is that what you read? Yes or no? Come on, talk to me, you theologians. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, Judas, with his cohorts, goes out to the garden and comes. Now look up here. This is Satan now walking in Judas's body. Yes or no? He's not omnipresent. He chose to be at that place at that time. Right? He comes to Jesus. Jesus says to him, friend, restraint. Friend, now he's looking at Judas, but don't you remember when he looked at those other brother or those other guys that had the devils in them? He spoke right to the devils. When he looked at Judas, he saw Satan. Yes or no? Come on. And he said, "Hey, friend, what you come for?" And they went to lay hands on Jesus, and Peter goes, "You're not going to do that." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Put up your sword, man. It's not time to take the sword. Restrain yourself, Peter." He reaches over and picks up the ear and puts it back on. But Peter, I got plenty of power if I want to use it. You know what character is? Character is having the power to destroy someone and not using it. Character is having the power to hurt someone and not using it. Character is the ability to feed with milk and not with meat so you don't choke them. Character is the ability to restrain them. Or, I should say it this way, submit ourselves to God so God can restrain us. Is that better? Friend? What do you want? Oh, we just came to take you to kill you, that's all. I couldn't get you back in the wilderness to sin. I tried. Oh, yeah, I passed through the barriers of restraint. You remember, you saw me fall. I was lifted up. I know. I said I'm the Most High, and I'm still going to take over. And I got Eve. I took your creation and caused them to fall and broke down their barriers of restraint. And back in the wilderness, I almost had you. "If thou be the Son of God," I said, "throw yourself over." I thought I had you there, but I didn't get you there. But now I got you. I'll put you up on the cross. I'm going to tempt you to come down. I'm going to put you right up there. I'm going to have them pass by. Huh? And they're going to wag their heads. And you're going to suffer, man. I got you. Even the ones on the side of you are going to say, "Yeah! Boy, I'm glad he restrained himself from not coming down. I'm glad he suffered for me. I'm glad he bore my pain and bore my sorrows and carried his grief on my shoulders. I'm glad he did it all for me. We owe him. We owe him. We're debtors. We owe him not to get mad at the people we're supposed to love. We owe him to love the ones that don't love us. And the only way we can do it is with his love flowing in us." David restrained himself from killing Absalom. David refrained himself, look up here, from killing Saul. David restrained himself, and I should say God restrained him. Hello? From Joab and Ahithophel. But David became a leader. And when Abishai said, "Let me take his head off," David said, "No, I'm restraining you from doing it." Leadership is not only getting to a place where we ourselves are restrained, but leadership is when we influence others to restrain themselves. It's easier said than done. Look at Luke 9. And we'll come in for a landing. Luke 9, watch it now. Don't miss it, please. Let me wrap this thing up real quick before Joab shows up. Luke chapter 9, come on now. I'm going to say it one more time so you get it. Look up here. Ladies, men, some lady says, "I don't want to be a leader." If you're married to a man that's a leader, you have no choice. When I became pastor of our church, it was one of those very quick deals.
Amen.
Very quick. Within 24 hours,
yes.
I come home. I said, Patty, she wasn't at the meeting. I said, Patty, I'm the new pastor. She said, Pat, I don't know how to be a pastor's wife. And I stated, don't worry, I don't know how to be a pastor. You remember? Amen? And I still don't know how. And nor do you without God's help. Hey, she married me, and God called me, but when God called me, she's part of me. Therefore, she must go into leadership too. But people want to be leaders, and they don't realize the restraint that's necessary. So, we've learned to restrain ourselves through God's help in our marriage. Look up here. Then we had to learn to restrain in the face of opposition. Look up here. Then we had to learn to influence others to restrain. And then we have to learn to influence others in the face of oppositions to restrain. I'm talking about Nehemiah up on the wall and Sanballat and Tobiah walking around trying to get the people to rebel. And Nehemiah walk around praying, talking to the people. You just read all the way through there, Ezra, all the way through. I'm talking about to get rid of the Korah. You say, what Korah do? He influenced the princes of the people to rebel against Moses. Non-restraint. God says, I don't like that. Open the ground up. Swallow them up. We're not going to have that down there. Look at Luke 9. Follow. 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, entered into the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they, underline it, did not receive him. They go out, they go to the village of the Samaritans, they say he's coming, and they wouldn't receive him because his face was as you go to Jerusalem, was a cultural thing. Verse 54. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias did. Come on, Lord. Let us call some of that fire down. Let's just destroy them. Elijah did it. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you guys, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. You know what he said? Restrain yourselves. Don't use God's power that way. Brethren, look up here. I carry in my hand a sharp two-edged sword that is able to divide what? Say it. Say it. Soul and spirit. You tell me anything sharper than that. Come on now. And I'm learning this book. I better be careful what I do with it. Amen? A lot of people think that's what you're supposed to do with it. Just go out and hack them up and let them bleed. Here's what I do when I preach. Take care of it, Pastor. We had a good meeting, didn't we? Everybody's going... Amen? They're just laying there cut and bleeding, and there's no solution given. I'm going to tell you what your problem is, and I'll walk away. Ha, ha, ha. I thought preaching was to say, here's the problem, and here's the balm of Gilead. Here's what you need to take care of it. The answer is being filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not saying at the level we're thinking now. I'm saying, God, I'm thinking this low, but Lord, I needed to be filled at a new level. I'm facing something I don't even know what I'm facing. And God, I've asked you in my mind, I've been thinking this low. But right now, today, I know I need restraint at this level. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you have filled with God's power. I say to you today, we need more to reach our potential. saying. Our time is up. My time is up, but yours isn't. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm talking about getting filled with a new level of love and power of restraint. Oh, with that comes many responsibilities. Don't tell me you don't need it. If you don't think you need it, then you did not get this message. I need it. I think you need it too, my brother and my sisters. It would only take a couple minutes, and we'll go on to the next speaker. But I submit to you today that what we should be doing is... God, I need more. I got somebody coming over that needs something from me, and I don't know if I can give it to them, so I need you to give it to me to give it to them. God, fill me. I got to go over there and take the gospel and fill me. What are we waiting on? Let's do it now. You need to get on your knees right now. I'm serious. If you want to come to an altar right now, you say, but there's another speaker. What are you waiting for, sir? What are you waiting for, ma'am? I'm talking about getting on your knees and say, God, fill me. Fill me with a new level. Fill my wife and I. My teenage boy, my teenage daughter, they need to be filled. Fill my pastor. Fill me, Lord. Oh, God, fill me. I want to be more like Jesus in the area of restraint. Sometimes in my mind, I revile back again. I retaliate. I plot, I plan. I need to be filled with your love. And somehow, God, I don't need just for me. Now I need the filling that causes me to influence others to be filled. Oh, God, I need others. I need the kind of filling that causes me to be able to influence others to restrain. Oh, God, help me. God, I don't even know exactly what I'm asking for. But I'd ask you to give me the utterance of prayer, and my spirit would take it to you. And give me something that I don't even know I need for what I'm about to face. God, fill me with your love, your power. God, I'm fighting with my husband. I haven't even stopped that yet. Now get me off of this, Lord. God, we're having little arguments in our home, and that needs to stop right away. We need you. Father, our church is fighting. There's people in our church fighting. God, fill them and fill us and help us to be the ones that can cause them to want to be filled. Please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Give me something that I can go out and help others.